What a high day of Christianity is Passover. You know, it is real sad that most people do not know that the word Easter is not even in the manuscripts. It's real sad that it's a pagan holiday called Ishtar and was taken in. And what you miss when you miss Passover, that was God's protection coming out of Egypt. And that becomes very important today. And that in itself kind of lets you know how off guard people are in this world today as far as being prepared to handle the situation that's approaching, to come under the wing of Almighty God, that He protects you through that time of the evil one's presence. So I'm going to start today by utilizing the Lord's Prayer. He told us how to pray. It is not His prayer, but His prayer is really John chapter 17. That is to say, the prayer of the Lord. But He instructed us in this prayer. The first three petitions are to Almighty God. The next four are for man, and what man should receive, what man should pray for. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew chapter 6. As we get into this Passover day, and actually in the manuscripts, as you all know, if you go to Acts where the word Easter is installed, the word in the Greek is Passover. And that's what, don't ever change it. It is Passover, and it's where God makes the destroyer pass over your family. Otherwise, let it rain on you, okay? That's really, Satan went right to the heart of the matter and twisted truth, whereby people celebrate it as the high day of Christianity and unfortunately bring in the fertility acts of orgies of the eggs and quick like a bunny. It's nothing to do with God's word, and takes you out from under the protection of Passover. That is to say, so Satan has to pass over you and your family. And I think everybody wishes that Satan passes over your family and that God protects you. So, opening your Bibles to that sixth chapter, let's pick it up and let's read the first three instructions as the petitions to Almighty God. And he says in verse 9 to begin. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. This is how you should pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, giving credit that He is supreme, He is there. Hallowed be Thy name, meaning holy is Your name. We honor Your name. And His name, Yahweh, which is Your protector. I am that I am. In the Hebrew tongue, Yahshaiah, meaning I'm there for you. I love you. I care for you. And yet people will fear rather than revere love. You know, the Hebrew word fear translates both ways, revere or fear. Choice is yours. How can you help but love Him, revere Him? Okay. Verse 10 to continue the petitions to Him. Thy kingdom come. The king and his dominion come here. Okay. That's the prayer. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. In other words, not man's will, not Satan's will, but you pray that God's will be in your life. Do you know why? Because He knows what's good for you. He knows where He has a need for you down the road a ways. And He wants to form you and shape you and mold you like workable clay, making pottery that can withstand the wiles and the fiery darts of Satan. He wants to be proud of you. He wants to use you. And that's why you pray, not your will, not some preacher's will, but God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so it is. So that prayer goes. So there you have the petitions to our Father concerning our respect for Him, our love for Him. And now we come to our request. Give us this day our daily bread. What was the daily bread that this would go back to? It would begin with the manna that fell daily from heaven, from our Father, from His kingdom. That was the bread, the manna that fell from heaven and sustained our people in the wilderness. You're going to go back into that wilderness, and this is a little unusual for a Passover sermon, but you're going to get it, okay? You're going to get it. And that manna, do you know how well prepared the people were? Do you know what they said in the great book of Exodus? What's that? That's what manna means. What's that? They didn't know what it was. So letting you know, God knows what you need. And what is this bread that you pray for daily? Christ said, I am the bread of life. And when you partake of that bread, then it gives you life. Not just in these flesh veins, but eternal life. To be with Him and with your family forever and ever and ever. That's why Passover is so very, very important, is that you partake of the real thing. You partake of Him. And from that comes the protection, the guidance, taking care of you in the wilderness of this world. You know, quite frankly, we have so many endless examples of people in trouble that God simply protected them. Let's take Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I mean, in a fiery furnace heated 7 times hotter than necessary. They were even singed because Christ was in the furnace walking with them. And there was Daniel in the lion's den. Don't say those dudes weren't hungry. They proved they were hungry because when Daniel came out, they threw in the guys that tossed him in there and they had chow. Okay, chow down. God takes care of His own. You've got to believe that. And of all times, you need to know it now. Because you're approaching that day when you're going to need to know it. Because you're not going to have some straw to lean on. You've got to lean on God to know Yahweh. That you have the support that you need to carry you through. So that's why you pray. Give me that daily bread. That is to say, the bread that is Christ's body, that He protects me, leads me, and takes care of my life, shaping it to His will, whereby He can use me to reach other people, to magnify His office as He sees fit. Verse 12, and forgive us our debts. That means our faults. You don't have faults? You don't have any sin? Come on, now, let's get real, okay? Pray for forgiveness. Do you know that's how knowledge starts, is to repent and then be instructed? You know, we just covered that in Jeremiah. God said, repent and be instructed. I'll teach you, I'll tell you, I'll lead you. But forgive us our faults, our sins, as we forgive our debtors. Well, you say, well, I want God to forgive me, but I ain't about to forgive that brother of mine. Oh, you're not. Well, then, you might not make the kingdom, friend, you know? You know, if a person doesn't come to you and ask for forgiveness, be a real big Christian and in your own heart, forgive them so it doesn't fester in you. Otherwise, you know what? You can see it fester in a person when they won't forgive. You can see it build daily. It expands and it takes them over. They get a foul mouth and they're not nice to be around. When all they would have had to have done is say, my brother don't have no sense. I ought to just forgive him anyway. You know, he don't know no better. See? You know, I mean, you don't have to put it exactly that way, but by the grace of God, there you are. The reason you can forgive is you have the love of God in your heart, and He touches you, and leads you and brings you to that point where you can forgive so it doesn't build up in you, all right? And enjoy yourself. All right. Verse 13, and lead us not into temptation. That is, don't lead me into some trial I can't handle. And he's already promised us that he would not do that. You have that promise in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. He said, there'll never be anything happen to you that is uncommon. It happens to everybody. And at the same time, I will always show you a way out, and I will never tempt you over what you can handle. He knows you can cut it, okay? He knows you're going to lean on him, and you and him make a majority. You can get it done, okay? Don't be a quitter. Don't be a wimp. Especially, don't be a spiritual wimp. All right? You stand up and utilize the power and the authority that God has given you. But deliver us from evil. It means deliver us from the evil one. That's why we have Passover, so that he does deliver you from the evil one. Who's the evil one? The destroyer, Satan, the old dragon. Any name you want to tag on to him, use it. And he will deliver you from him. You don't have anything to worry about. You know how good he is to you? He doesn't only deliver you from him, he has given you power over him. He has to obey you. When you say get, he must go. Okay. When you do it in Christ's name, otherwise, if you don't use the Savior's name, he might say, well, who are you? And you wouldn't have the horsepower to do it within yourself. But in Jesus' name, that magnifies your power, which is dunamis or dynamite, all right? You can get it done. For thine is the kingdom. You know what the kingdom is? He's the king, and he's got the dominion. Don't ever question that. You start wondering, what dominion are we talking about? We're talking about the universe. We're talking about the earth. We're talking about everywhere. We're talking about heaven. It's his dominion and the power and the glory forever. Amen. That's your prayer. You know what amen means? That's that. That's the end of it. That's the way it is. That's the way I want it. And that's the way I'll have it. With confidence and boldly, at that time, you can approach his altar and petition what it is you have. He knows what you have need of. When you do his work, he will add that on to you. Now, let's go over to concerning the bread of life, which we're about to partake of. Turn with me to St. John chapter 6. I want to talk just a little bit about this manna from heaven. This manna that you're able to partake of today, as it's written in Revelation chapter 2, verse 17. A new white stone and manna, that is to say, truth from our Father, through his word, revealing what it is that happens in the wilderness. And what happened in the wilderness past, it's going to be that exactly, it will be exactly the same way in the future. Okay, we documented that from the Word of God. Okay, there's a lot of people, he just got through feeding a large group out in the wilderness, the desert, and they're really following him around, chasing him, wanting another fish sandwich, okay? Now, that's what's in their mind, you know, that's how far it goes, see? And he begins to tell them that the bread of life is different. And he being that tree of life. This bread will stay with you forever is the point he's trying to make to them. And it's the point you must know and receive today, that when you partake of his table, when you partake of this bread, which is his body, that he is in you and you are in him then. And you have that family and that presence. Pick it up with verse 31 where they begin to talk to him. Our fathers, these people said, that are following him around, Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. They kind of think that Moses did this. And Jesus answers, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven. What Moses? Moses was a servant of God. But my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. And what is that bread? It's Christ. Okay. It's His Word. He's the living Word. And His Word is what strengthens you. Strengthens your faith. Gives you courage. Removes fear. Because He promises and makes promises. And if, that's a condition, if you follow His way and that condition, you got it. He will take care of you. He will never let you down. He may try you until to find out if you've got it or not. I like that, you know. I want to know if we're going to go into combat, I want to know who's a wimp. I don't want them with me. Wimps will get you killed, okay? Those that want to quit, hey, quit, okay? But you don't have to. I don't care how, you know, a person that is paralyzed from head to toe and has the faith and the strength is a better spiritual warrior than a husky, okay? I'm saying that so you understand where I'm coming from. A spiritual warrior is fantastic, okay, utilizing the power of that bread. Came down from heaven, the real bread, angel's food, 33. For the bread of God is He which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Are you alive? Spiritually? Or do you know some people that are spiritually dead in a hammer? They, you know, they even turn up their nose when you try to talk about God's Word. Don't have time. Please don't talk about that with me. That's sad. It really is. Pray for them. Don't cast your pearls before swine. When somebody's ready, God will let you know. Okay? They will let you know. But this is the bread that gives you life. It sets your life aside from others and puts you in a position in this holy day of Christianity, Passover. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. We want it forever. Now, are they talking about those fish sandwiches they just received, or are they talking about the real thing? You know, people ask different things, but they're kind of talking about the real thing here. Do they understand? I don't know. Let's see. Verse 35. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. And there you have it, the cup and the bread. And when you partake of it, you will never thirst or want for anything as far as knowledge, wisdom, to do what? To do the will of God. That's what the prayer was in the Lord's Prayer. Pray that His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That you do what is just and what is fair. But, verse 36, but I will send unto you that ye also have seen, but I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. That's just the way it is. You know, what are you up against? I mean, these people walked and saw him feed that bunch in the wilderness. They still didn't believe. All they wanted was a fish sandwich. That's as far as they could think. Okay. Do you know anybody like that today? You know, be careful, but you see how badly you're needed. How bad when a friend is a friend indeed, is one that can help give someone eternal life. That makes you special. That makes you a friend indeed. That makes you a friend in Christ. A friend that can uplift. A friend that can even give life by recommending truth from the instructions of Almighty God. 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. and him that cometh to me, and I will in no way, no wise cast out. Who is he talking about here? Who has the Father given him? The election, chosen before the foundations of the earth. He knows that. It is whomsoever will, right enough. But Father gives him certain ones. I mean, really, gives them, 38, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. He that chose them, he that knows them, Almighty God. 39, and this is the Father, this is the Father's will. Do you want to know what God's will is? This is Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should rise it up again at the last day. The last day is when God's elect would be on this earth. Why? Got work to do. Got a witness against the false one. And he said, I will use them then. This is why he would say in his own prayer in John chapter 17, I've lost nothing except the son of perdition, which is the devil. He's already sent us to death, okay? But his election, he's not going to lose anything. And you might say, well, does that mean we get away with stuff? Try it. Make his day, okay? He'll slap you in line. When you're one of his election, he'll get your attention so fast, take you to the woodshed, and straighten you out, okay? Why? He loves you. Right? 40. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son, that's when you've seen the Son, you've seen the Father, and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. So there you have that manna that comes from heaven. God sent us that true manna, the living, and the Word became flesh, as it is written, and walked among us, and left this truth that we can live by, that we can partake of his table, that gives us that hope, that assurance, that it makes a difference, and you make a difference. That's why you're different than anyone else. As many people as there are in this room, there's no DNA the same. God made a bunch of you, didn't he? Well, you're all different. You're unique. Because he loves you and he wanted you that way, okay? But he wants you to love him in return. Now, back to the subject of Passover. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Because many Christians are going to ask you, Why would you celebrate Passover? That's a Hebrew holiday. It isn't. It's the highest day of Christianity. Okay, and it's not something that you can pass off as being of God when it's heathen. The Passover is the real thing. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 7 and 8. We're going to spend very little time here. I want you to know who our Passover is. And don't you ever forget it. And don't you ever let anyone rob you from it or of it. Chapter 5, 1 Corinthians, verse 7. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Who is our Passover? Christ is our Passover. Well, what does that mean? It means when you partake of him, the evil one must pass over you. He's afraid of you. Why? Because you have power over him. Christ has given you that power when you use it. That's why you don't want to ever be a spiritual wimp. Well, if I could only be sure. Well, you'll never make it, friend. If the Word doesn't assure you, if you can't see him in the Word to see his power and the fact that you can trust him, you're in bad shape. Did it not say, I will save all those that believeth me? There's no such thing as a part-time believer. Okay, I can tell you right now, you either do or you don't. Okay? There's no, well, I just believe a little bit. No, you don't believe at all. There's no such thing as a little bit. You either believe Christ was the Son of God or you don't. Period. That's what makes the difference. And He Himself is our Passover. It's that important. That's why this is the high day of Christianity. No Christ, no Passover. He's going to land right in the middle of your family, Satan is. He's going to take your family and do with them as he chooses. You know what he'll probably do? He'll take a good Christian family and he'll have two of you, though you're reading the Bible, holding it. And you start fighting over how you open a package of wieners. And Satan stands off and laughs. Do you see that man and woman, what they're fighting over, how they open the toothpaste? I've got them. They can be had. They will not hold the line. So, you see, maturity in following Him, paying attention to what's important. He is our Passover, and He will keep Satan out of your house, whereby nonsense such as that must fall by the wayside. And next verse 8, therefore let us keep the feast. What feast? Passover. That's what we're doing today. That's why we're here. We're keeping that feast. Not with old leaven, not with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Are you sincere in really wanting to please Him? Of course you are. You wouldn't be here. You went to a lot of trouble to get here, to spend this Passover, this day, where that Satan must leave you alone. And not only leave you alone, but give you power to help not only your family, but other families. Because you're a believer, you know. And you know something? Satan and his little lieutenant shake in their boots when you walk by if you exercise that power. If you are accustomed occasionally to executing it with authority in driving anything negative from your family or someone else's in the name of Jesus. That is to say, Messiah. He's our Passover. He forces things to pass over you, or do you like for it to hit you right in the face? Okay? It's your choice. That's why don't ever let anyone rob you of Passover with Ishtar. Okay? You went a long way down the pit when you allow that to happen. Don't allow it. Real easy to check it out. All you have to do is take a Strong's Concordance, take the word Easter only one time in the King James Bible. And when you get to the Greek dictionary, you'll find out the word is Passel, which is Greek for Passover. Robbed, robbed, robbed. Satan loves to have his little editors try to edit the word. You know, when you're a real scholar of God's word, you can spot them a mile away where they've been at their little work and dreaming up words and translating in a certain way. And that's what you want to do, is straighten it out. I mean, make their day. Give them something to think about, all right? Believe God's word, but never, ever let someone rob you of your Passover, which is to say Christ. I want to go back. He said, keep the feast. How do you keep it? Go back to the book of Exodus with me. In closing, chapter 12. We're going to pick it up along about verse 21. This is what it's all about. Some people are going to say, well, you're back there in the Old Testament again. Well, you know, didn't we not learn that the wilderness this time is going to be exactly like it was in the last time in Exodus? That is to say, the coming out. So that's where you learn from, and that's why we're here. It's so that your Passover and your family is passed over. Chapter 12 in Exodus, the going out, in verse 21. Then Moses called all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And of course, we don't do that anymore. Why? Christ is our Passover. He's the Lamb. Okay? And you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel in the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. This is why that now you take the oil of our people, olive oil, and you anoint the door of your house and order anything negative out, and make sure that nothing negative in Jesus' name can come in piggyback. Some people will anoint their house and order evil out, and then here will come some slick salesman. I'm trying to think of a profession where I don't offend anyone. That's got a whole six pack full of demons in him, and they'll open that door and say, "Come on in." But you just invited them in. You did. Okay. So spiritually, keep the Passover. When you order something out, make it include piggyback. In other words, if you've got something bad and you park it out there, okay, don't bring it in here. You may smile about that a little bit, but hey, don't wonder why sometime your house is having a lot of trouble if you let something slip by the doorpost, okay? And please don't let that frighten anyone either, because you have power and authority over anything evil or in all your enemies, okay? Verse 23, let's go there. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door. This is where Passover comes from. And will not suffer the destroyer to come in into your houses to smite you. That's why it's so important. You know, I think some people just must love trouble, because they just let it pile in the door. Okay? And by, you know, are they hard up for friends that they can't at least use the Passover anointing to keep negative out of their house? Think about it, okay? You've got the power. You have the control. You utilize it. But the main thing is, this is why in this generation, where Satan's going to be kicked out of heaven sometime soon, and he's looking for homes. He's looking for people that are ignorant of God's word. And he's not going to pass over them. He's going to pounce right into their home. He's going to take them over. That's why you must be armed with the gospel armor to fight against the fiery darts of Satan. He can't touch you. He can't hurt you. Why? Because you partake of Passover, and Christ is your Passover. And ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. How long is that? Forever. But don't make the mistake of many people. Christ became our Passover, not that lamb. Don't go slaughtering some lamb or something like that. That makes you a hypocrite. That's an abomination, because you say Christ's blood couldn't do it. You stick with the Passover. That's Christ. And do that forever. Nothing changes when it comes to the Passover. And it shall come to pass when you become to the land where the Lord will give you, according as he hath promised, that you shall keep this service. You always keep it. That's why we gather. That's why we do keep his Passover. Not by the moon calendar, moons, that's for Satan, but by the solar calendar, which is the new year plus 14 days and then Passover. Okay? And it shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service? Why do you keep it? Well, explain it to them. That's why the word was taught over and over at Passover, Pentecost, and the fall feast. Because they didn't have Bibles like you do. And they had to have repetition, repetition, repetition. That's how God's word was taught. by the priesthood itself. That you shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. He did what? He delivered our houses, and the people bowed the head and worshiped. And the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron. So did they. So, and they're all the firstborn. It won't be long till Pharaoh will be calling Aaron and Moses saying, get out. Get out of Egypt. Take everything you got and go. Go out there and serve the Lord. That was what it was all about. Now, I think you can learn something from that, though. Many people might leave Egypt, but they don't really serve the Lord all that much. He went to a lot of trouble to bring that freedom and that protection. And he's going to do the same exact thing again when that woman is driven into the wilderness. He's going to go to that same length of trouble to protect those he loves and see that you have the victory. And this is why you want to be careful of something that will happen before then. One more verse and we end. Verse 42 of this same chapter. 41. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, so this is the captivity, even the selfsame day it came to pass that all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. It is a night, not a day, it is a night to be much observed unto the Lord for bringing them out from the land of Egypt. This is that night of the Lord, not the day of the Lord, the night of the Lord, to be observed of all the children of Israel in their generations. Satan usually controls the night. What this means is, God's taken over day and night. It's his night when he walks Satan and passes over. He must pass over. And you're home free because he loves you. That's why we partake of, and certainly